Have your Bibles, turn with me, First Timothy tonight, as we look into God's Word. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and find that place. Our Father, we open this book again, and we thank you for it, Lord. Without it, we'd have no hope. We wouldn't know who our hope's in, Jesus Christ. Without this book, we'd have no assurance of anything. It's the absolute Word of God. What it tells us is honest and truthful. Dear Father, we can back everything up by what God has given us in this book and know without a doubt that we have these wonderful truths that God backs up. It's just not the book itself, though it is God's Word, but God backs this up. The power that's behind it is what's so wonderful in our lives, and that makes us different than the world. The world looks at it as just another story, another written document that someone has written in years past and got a bunch of people to follow. They fail to look beyond the veil of flesh and know that God, who is a spirit, reveals truthful things. We can be led astray, and we don't have to, but we can be led astray, or we can seek for the truth, and God himself will see to it that truth revealed in our heart and life. Not only would it be in revelation, but it'll be illuminated in our heart to understand those truths. And I pray tonight you'd help us with the subject. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last week we talked about, we're looking at three different enemies of the mind. And the reason I'm going to go three at this time, because I believe most of the other enemies could fall under these three categories. I'm sure there's other enemies by themselves, but I think they fall somewhere in these categories. And so the last week and week before that, we looked at the enemy of the mind, which was guilt. And we talked about it in detail. You know, and I don't ever know who's going to help, but I'm so grateful. I had a call one night. I got home, wife and I did, and had a call. Somebody on the upstream was looking. And they heard the Wednesday night lesson last week, and they asked me to call back, and I did. And when I get called the number back, they said, Brother Anderson, want you to know that I'm so glad I listened to you on the website. She said, this person said, I learned about guilt, and I have bothered with this for weeks and weeks, and things happened years ago. It just bothers me a whole lot, and God really answered my prayer. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that blesses my heart. You don't get this by just sitting around. You don't get this by just having a Bible in on a coffee table and reading it for a daily devotion every morning. It takes in-depth study to look into these things and ask God to give us wisdom, and that's what we pray would happen tonight. Now, as we talked about this enemy of the mind, we talked last week that men deny the existence of sin, and when they do, they call sin by other names, and therefore they feel no guilt whatsoever. If it were not for God, man would not have any guilt. He'd justify everything. But you can't justify something wrong when God is involved with it, because God will always prove, and guilt is a tremendous tool that God has given to humanity to know that things that are wrong. And when we know that they're wrong, the guilt's there for the purpose of making it right. And the greatest way to make it right, or make the guilt leave, is to make it right. That's the reason I hear so many times we say, you know, I can't understand it. When I got saved, walked down that aisle and got saved, I felt like a load. I said last week, a load lift off my shoulders. You know the reason why? Because every guilt of sin lift at that time is washed in the blood. And so God just makes you feel much better when you have confession before him about things like that. And we said men rationalize their sin. They justify themselves, claiming, you know, that whatever causes them to be what they are and do is a product of their environment. If that be the case, most of us in here wouldn't be where we are now. If it's my environment, I'd be a drunk. But thank God he delivered me out of that, and from that even delivered my family out of it years later. Even my dad got saved. Environment has nothing to do with it if you let the Lord help you change it. As a matter of fact, we make the environment by leaving God out, as human beings are concerned. And so again, so men conceal their guilt and legalize their sin. And so when they do that, they begin to change the names of things. In other words, again, killing unborn babies gives a right to choose, and you're pro, you're con, and you try to use terms in which it doesn't bring as much guilt. But because sin is involved, there will be guilt till God gets us home. It's a wonderful thing to know when we get to heaven, We're not going to have to worry about anything there that's corrupt. I think about so much. Glory to God. Even these bodies, we're not going to have these bodies. We're going to have a glorified body. You know as good as I do. I look at you, and you look at me. You know this is not a glorified body. You know that. You know why? Somebody wearing glasses like I am. I'm not going to have no glasses in heaven. You think about the different things. You know, we have troubles and problems and glasses and king here not only can't see, but bald spots. We have all kinds of things here. The glorified body won't be like that. It's going to be perfect in that day, fashioned like in the body of Jesus Christ. Now, the second enemy of the mind, we start here in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, this one here is one that Satan really fights, because no matter what I say, there will be some who will say the fact is not me, just not me. He talks about finances. He talks about money. He talks about what happens when we get caught in the trap of trying to gain things. Now, don't you know God knows we need certain things? Don't you know He knows our needs? Don't you know He has blessed us beyond any blessing you could think of just about? And yet, at the same time, He warns us about this particular subject. And that's the sorrow of materialism that comes. And He lays out a principle for this. As we go through it, you'll see. He knows we have needs. He knows that there are certain things in life we have to survive. He's not talking about that. We can serve God and have those needs met. But He's talking about the place where we go beyond that which we think we need, and suddenly our focus is on things rather than on God Himself. So let's look here in 1 Timothy. We're going to start in verse 6, read 5 through 11, and then we'll go from there. We're talking about the many sorrows of materialism. Before we do that, turn back to 2 Corinthians with me, chapter 7. I want to read a verse to you. We finished up last week. In verse 10, godly sorrows is a special valuable emotion. Of course, these emotions, guilt's emotion, and this thing of the sorrows that materialism can bring is emotions too. In verse 10, he says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to the repent of." And that is never to be regretted of. You don't have to repent because you repent. But he said, godly sorrow worketh salvation. There is something that God is leading to bring us a better deal in life when it comes to things that happens to us for us to get saved. But he said, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. In other words, to be sorry just because we got caught in the world leads to death. But godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Now go back to 1 Timothy with me. And look in chapter 6. We want to read verse 5 down through a few verses. And here's what Paul is telling Timothy as he talks about things in this life. And this particular thing, he's going to be talking about finances or mammon or money. Look in verse 5. He said, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds. The word perverse means things that are not right, things that are wrong. They argue over those things, he says, of men. And they do that because they have corrupt minds. Now, this thing right here, the subject we're going to be talking about, can lead us in a right direction with the right mind, or we can have corrupt minds and write it off and say that it doesn't hit any of us, when God can touch all of us about it if we're minded to listen to Him and do what He says. He said, perverse disputing of men, that is arguing over things that are not right and are corrupt because they have corrupt minds. They justify why they do that. And he said, and destitute of the truth. That is, they like the knowledge of the truth. These men argue over earthly things, have no truth whatsoever, and all it is just a debate thing. Notice, when they find themselves perverse on things that are not right, arguing about men with corrupt minds, lacking truth, watch, supposing that gain is godliness. That's where Satan tricks them. Supposing that gain is God. You know, God must love me because look what I've got. Instead of, as Brother Tyson prayed tonight, that God let us know the truth about our relationship and how we get there, they're thinking, look what I've got. Lord, God blessed me more than He blessed you. I must say everything. He says that's the way corrupt minds do. Instead of listening to God, they look at what they can accumulate in this life, and it's a corrupt mind in God's sight because God has been left out. Watch what He says. He says, from such withdraw thyself. Then look in verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7, then he goes further and he said, remind ourselves, listen, don't ever think that God has taken away for giving us the need that we have and blessing us to enjoy this life if God is first. But he's letting us know that if God's anything, then first, no matter what we get here, it couldn't be a curse to us rather than a blessing. Notice he said, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therein content. Now, it's interesting. The word content means that we have a settlement, you know, as far as our mind is concerned. And we have an ease of it. Watch this. Then he warns in verse 9. Boy, I read this carefully. But they that will be rich, that's an insane. Notice Paul's warning to Timothy here. They that will be rich, that is, they will be. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 28 for just a moment. I want to just look at that will be, what God says in Proverbs chapter 28. In Proverbs chapter 28, in verse 20, he says this, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Notice, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he says, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have a respect of persons is not good. For a piece of bread that man will transgress. He that hastens to be rich hath an evil eye, and considers not the poverty shall come upon him. What he said in forth at this time, they that will be rich, watch, fall unto a temptation. That's the key. God says, I'm warning you, you can let me be first and you can have the world, the blessings, wherever you're at. But keep in mind, mammon and material things should never come between me and you. And Paul said a lot to Timothy about this. He said again, watch, into temptation. Why? Because rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destructions and perdition. We're talking about the sorrows of materialism that which we love to have and enjoy, but at the same time, enjoy them if God is first. That's the whole thing. If whatever you have financially, enjoy it, but God had better be first. If not, it becomes a curse to some degree because he says we'll lose out in the end. Watch, he says again. He said, which drowned men in destruction and perdition. Unto, again, temptation and snare, and to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Then he gives us verse 10, the reason why he's given this whole statement. He said, for the love of money, didn't say money, but for the love of money, he says, is the root of all evil, which will some, while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Oh, that a man of God flee these things and follow after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness and fight the good fight of faith. What he said, these things can creep in unaware because of the way we think in a fallen state. And we can think if we've got the ability, have to be at the right place at the right time, get the right job, whatever it may be, we think that we have the ability and that brings that about and then we kind of attach God to it. God is setting forth that he's got to be first. And when you see this, turn with me if we will to Deuteronomy and let's look at what God says to, in the Old Testament along this line. He's speaking to Israel and that'll give us an idea, I think, of what Paul is talking about here. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8 with me. I'm going to read down few verses here. Here, God is giving warning and exhortations to the nation of Israel. He's telling them, I'm taking you to your land. I told you it's flowing with milk and honey. When you get there, I want you to know some things. I won't read all this sake of time. But in verse 1, he talks about all the communications which I have commanded thee this day shall be observed to do, shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Father sware unto your father. He said, all this that you will get in that land, it's yours. But remember, don't let it control you. I'm the one, God says, needs to control you. And he goes down the line. He says in verse 5, thou shalt also consider in thy heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord thy God chastens thee. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? Paul tells us that in the book of Corinth, that as sons, God chastens us. I heard a charismatic preacher say the other day that God didn't chase his children, didn't have to. You know what? I don't know where he gets that at. Because I'll tell you, all of us, there are times that God has to remind us who we are and where we're at and how much we need him. And he's telling us here as he talks to Israel. Now, this is going to lay a foundation for what we're looking at, what Paul's telling Timothy. And he said, for the Lord, look in verse 7, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and the hill. Look in verse 9. A land of wheat and barley, verse 8, vines, fig tree, and a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass, when thou hast eaten. Now watch, God said, this is the blessing you're going to have, Israel. I'm taking you there. It's like God said to us, I bless you in this life. I give you help. I give you enough that you can have beyond your needs met. And just keep in mind, when you see those blessings coming in, don't forget that I'm still God. And he said to Israel, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. For those blessings that God has given thee, we're to bless his name. Now watch the warning, though, in verse 11. Beware. Now, when you get to that point of the great blessings of God, when you get to that point, you said, isn't it wonderful what God has brought us to and what he has done? He says, you beware lest you forget where it come from. Watch what he said. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgment and his statutes, which I have commanded thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and has built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Ladies and gentlemen, can you? That just explodes in my heart. God is saying, as I see what Paul is telling Timothy by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and see what God is telling Israel here through Moses in Deuteronomy. He's letting them know it's so easy because we have a depraved nature. So easy for God to bring us to a point of blessing that we get to a point that we're maintaining what we have, all of a sudden we leave God out. We don't give as much as we did. We don't tie like it. Some people tie off the gross. Some tie off the net. Some people just tie off the gross. Now they tie off the net. I mean, because you begin to bargain things and go backwards instead of going forward. And whatever it is as the individual, God says, you just keep in mind, remember that who brought you where you're at. Now watch as I read the rest of this. Read verse 17. He said, and thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand had gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. What's this? For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as is this day. Now the charismatics abuse verse 18 all the time. They abuse it. Snatch it on at times, because then that means that everything they do is all right as long as the wealth comes. See, the fact that wealth comes in, it's a sign everything's all right. That's where Paul talks about when you look at a person, thinks it's godliness, that because you have that. You remember what he said in verse 6 again? Or what he said in, verse 5, he said, supposing that gain is godliness. Isn't it an amazing thing? And Paul said, Timothy, from such turn away. If a person thinks gain, it shows of their godliness. From such turn away. Withdraw yourself, because there's something wrong there. Nothing wrong in giving God praise for what we have and bless his holy name. But suddenly, if we're not careful, we find ourselves weighing things out. Well, this wouldn't have happened if I hadn't had this and done that. And that's what God warns about. He said, Israel, when you get in that land, and you have all these things, and you're relaxing, and you're down, feel content, and everything's just going so great, watch out. Because that, your depraved nature will come forth, and suddenly you begin to take the credit for something that you didn't do without me, and yet you think you did. It's an amazing thing, folks. And then he goes on, he said in verse 9, and it shall be, if thou do it, that thou forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. Now go back with me again. Let's go to James just a moment. And the Bible itself just does the preaching when we look at these things. In James chapter, look with me in chapter 2. James chapter 2. Here's another side of that fence he talks about in this chapter. He's talking about, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory, with respect to a person. That is, when we begin to get this game, then suddenly ideas change. We think about, who can I deal with the most to get ahead more? Who can I show respect to get gain rather than just being? He warns about when you get to a certain level of wealth and certain levels of things, you forget what God says about the poor. You forget about what God says about life. And ladies and gentlemen, this is something people don't want to hear. He'd rather hear somebody get up and tell us that if you're really moving forward financially in this world with great wealth, it's a sign of godliness. God said it's not. It doesn't mean it couldn't be, but it's not, because most of the time people who push forward of that will start things for the Lord. And they'll start looking other things they say, well, God has blessed me this way, and I'm sure he would have me do this rather than what God says to do. It's so easy in this life to understand that we can go back a lot quicker than we can gain, go forward. He said, if I come to you and send a man with a golden ring and good apparel, and there in verse 2, he sent a poor, and there come in also a poor in the vile raiment. He said, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and saying to him, sir, sit thou in this good place, and say the poor, stand there and sit under my footstool. In other words, you may not say that, but that's the action that goes on. Sometimes we look at well, whatever we got, we work hard at it. And we may have worked hard at it. God said, but first of all, you may have worked hard at it, but you didn't get it by yourself. You didn't get it by yourself. And if you did get it by yourself, then it's not going to worth anything. You're not going to die and leave it all. You see? And so he goes on. And he said, hearken, my beloved brethren, verse 5, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? I love that. Heirs of the kingdom which he had promised to them that love him? He said, you keep in mind, and not God chosen the poor that's rich in faith? He's saying that some people are not rich in faith who are wealthy. And he goes on. He said, and kingdom and promise them to that love him. But you have despised the poor. Do not rich oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme thy worthy name by the which you're called? If ye before the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself and do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law of transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend it in one point, he is guilty of all. In other words, God is sin for just from, it comes right down. When sin is sin, no matter where it's at, what angle it's at, when it's that, then it's a condemnation of everything. Now go back again to Timothy with me. Now I have to quit before I even get into this thing, Harley. Look at the word. Look back and look at the mind. He said, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds. The word mind or minded here in verse 5 means to purpose or will in the present tense. In other words, it's a progressive thing. It isn't something that where a person plans out and God is in it and the wealth comes. But this is a purpose, willful thing. They call it the progressive action, middle voice. It sets forth its self-interest form only. And Paul's words describes a person who is continually obsessed with attaining things for their own use. He said you get to that point that you become so obsessed for things more than anything else, and so your decisions are corrupt by making decisions to get and keep what, maintain what you get. And God says we all can do that. We all can do that. I bet you name someone. I name some people right now who usually serve God like no. I mean, even preachers, you serve God, and now they're back in the world. They're not. Look at how they're living. They're not even serving God. They're not even pastoring anything at all. They got into business and had corrupt things that happened and had to go to court. And when you have things like that, I'm told that in their business, and there's nothing wrong going to court if you have to go to court, because there's sometimes it's justified to go to court. But I'm saying that. that they get off of that track where they were at, and then God has to bring them back somehow or another when he talks about money. And here Paul has given us this great instruction. They're obsessed with attaining things for his own use. Then notice the term rich here. He says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation. That means if you're obsessed with that to the point, that's all that really matters in your life. He says, it's going to lead in a different way. This is a denoting an ambition for supreme or sustained prosperity. It's want, it's settled desire, guilt of the seed of greed. Wanting something to the place the seed of greed's there. And even in that seed of greed, there's things that will be done, even unlawful, has to be at times. It literally traps people with foolish and harmful desires. Proverbs chapter 28, again, chapter 28 and down about verse 20, says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Interesting, isn't it? Again, the word fall is a verb in the present tense, and it hints at the fate of those who go in life is to pursue things. That is, that's the goal. Now, here back, God was in the center. But because of the blessing where we're at and what our thinking, maybe we didn't read the Bible as much, maybe we weren't as faithful, maybe we didn't sow in like we should, maybe we didn't learn the basics, there was a falling away, a falling back. And then suddenly the goal we had of obsession, not God, but there was the things, and we always justify ourselves, but God gave us these things, and we got to look after these things. But God says, if you get to the point that things mean more than I do, you've gone too far. He said it to Israel as a nation, and Paul is telling us here in this slide. In verse 9, again, those people who are obsessed with making money or obtaining things are eventually caught in a trap and are destroyed. An infatuation with money can lead to a multitude of problems. And that's what we're seeing here as Paul is warning about this at this time. Money is not evil at all, but the love of that money can be evil. Now, in the parable of the sower, turn there, let's look at that, and we won't get it. We see another example of this. I am amazed at how much, when I got into this time, looking at it as one of these enemies of the mind, I am amazed how much material God has given us and given us illustration out of illustration and instruction, not only with Israel as a nation, but as individuals. And then Jesus, when he was here, what he had to say. But you know what? Most time when somebody hears something biblical about this, they say, well, the preacher don't really know what he's talking about. I don't have to know what I'm talking about. I just have to read it. God knows what he's talking about. See? Go with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 13. Now, first of all, look in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. And I look at my watch, and I know it's time. Matthew chapter 13. Look in verse 22. He said, he that had received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and the care of this world. There it is again. Look how Jesus puts this now. He says, here's a man, here's the word of God, the seed of God. And he says, the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. That is, he can find every reason in the world why the preacher would say this, or the teacher would say this, or the Christian would say this, rather than what God has said himself. And then, money promises much, but it cannot deliver. There is no security in material things. It makes life a lot easier. Believe me, I thank God, right? I'm grateful that I'm where I'm at today compared to where I was 52 years ago or even just 45 years ago. I'm grateful for that. But God puts warning there because he says to me and to anyone else, to God's child, listen, don't ever get to the place you think you're on top of this thing, because that depraved nature will rise up. You neglect it. You don't feed it. You don't find practical exercise in putting it together, and it will rise up. And when it does, you'll justify whatever it is that you do. It's only God can change that for us in this life. If you also look in Luke chapter 12, turn there with me. And in Luke chapter 12, you might read this for next week, but I like this because this talks, Jesus tells about the parable of the rich fool. And I look at this parable and analyze. I spent a number of time in this in the last week or two. And it's really amazing. Consider Jesus' parable of this rich fool. The man had laid up goods for many years. And when I read this, and he said, he spake the parable unto him, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. There's nothing wrong with that, is there? Hey, I'd expect if I plant seed to see it come up, I'd think there'd be something wrong. And if it didn't come up, I'd put fertilizer there, I'd put manure, I'd put whatever I need to put there, wouldn't you? And if I'm going to spend my time planting, I'll do everything I can to get it come up. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen? Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. Makes you feel good just to know that we're heading in the right direction. Watch what he says, though. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Now, folks, listen. I've come to that point. I see nothing wrong with that. That's a good steward. He said, you bless me. I'm blessed with all of this. I'm not going to let it over and rot. I'm not going to put it out there somewhere. I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm not going to let this go to waste. I see nothing wrong. That's good steward. That's good planning, I believe. But the problem came is what he did next. And I, notice the I, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 I's. And you got 1, 2, at least 2 my's. And I will say to my soul, that's where the problem come in. So far, there's nothing wrong to happen here. But all of a sudden, he did exactly what God told Israel not to do. You remember, read that? He's doing exactly what Paul told Timothy that the child of God shall not do. He says now that I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now the world will say, what's wrong with that? If he worked hard and got it, don't he deserve some happiness? Yes. And by the way, God knows we deserve happiness too. He wants there to be joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But wait. God is showing us here, he said the next thing, watch. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? It's an amazing thing to me. Knowing the difference of being obsessed and just making a living is what God is telling us. God is saying, here's the difference. If you make a living and you're blessing, everything just where they ought to be before me, keep going, child. I'll keep blessing you. But if you ever become obsessed in the things that you're getting and leave me out, I won't be there. And you'll find out that you will lose out in the long run. God warns us about that. And I see that here. And he says, so he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. This tells me, this wonderful event here tells me that what the Lord is telling us at this particular time, be good stewards. When you're blessed, use it wisely. Look after it. Don't say, well, you know, I've been blessed this much. I just let rest. You know, there was a time when Israel had fields. They had gleaning piers where people would go. There's certain places of the fields they couldn't harvest. And they had to leave it for the poor. And the poor could just, anybody could come in and get it. It was required of God. So God is telling us in these few verses, the first enemy of the mind is guilt. It's a two-edged sword to the mind. The second one is sorrow, materialism. And I just noted that up in my study. I wrote this just yesterday or last night when I was looking at this. I wrote this down for what I had studied in a compact situation. What is it, the main thing that I could learn? And the lesson here to me was know the difference between being obsessed with things and just making a living. Making a living can be blessed. And we'd have so much that way. And God wants us to enjoy it. But if I ever get obsessed with things, then God will begin to be pushed aside. And he may come, the day will come, he will say, even as this man, thou fool, today thy life is required of thee. Father in heaven, thank you for this book. Lord, it's not easy to teach on these things, but it's one thing we need to know. This is Bible as much as John 3:16. And these are enemies of mine. And we have the ability to know the mind of Christ. And Christ is the one who God said, this is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased, hear ye him. And he taught us many things. It falls in line what God told Moses to tell Israel, what God inspired by his Holy Spirit, Paul to tell Timothy. And these are for our good to collectively put together and chart our course, and thank you for the blessings of life. Thank you for every raise. Thank you for every dollar. Thank you for everything that you do for us in this life that we can maintain a certain level of life. The Lord, when you begin to bless us beyond that and we get obsessed with that, then that's a different thing. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.